RJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. And lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes direct through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Today we're going to be talking with a very special guest. We'll introduce in just a moment after the monologue, but I want you to understand at the very beginning, there's something that's taking place in our school systems across America, and it's right here in our local Duval County School Board system, as well as the associated districts and the counties surrounding Duval County, and it's that of the porn books in the textbooks being used in the classrooms, and there's a move to remove them. And the question is it censorship or citizenship? That's my question. I believe it's citizenship. I believe it is incumbent upon us as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots. I believe it's incumbent upon us as parents that we see what our kids are seeing in the governmentally controlled schools with the textbooks that they're being taught to read, memorize, and look at. A lot of porn material in it that I believe needs to be censored, if you want to call it that, removed from the shelves in our educational system. We're going to talk about that today. And let me remind you, as we face an issue, we need to do so based on the central biblicist worldview, looking at it from what I call the truth book. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said this: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God: "Thy word is truth." In Psalms 117:2, the Bible reminds us, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." That's a pretty soft pillar to place your head on. The truth of the Lord endures forever. However, ladies and gentlemen, we must admit, just as the secularist George Orwell said in his 1984 book, The Dystopian Novel, Orwell made this profound statement: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." I find that to be pretty factual today. It doesn't make any difference what subject you're speaking on. If you stand for truth, speak the truth, you're going to find those that want to argue about it, contend against it, and complain that you're not telling the truth. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, contrary to what the younger generation is saying today, according to the survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, their statement is simply, and I read it from the article, "Each person determines their own version of truth." Therein lies the problem. You can't bifurcate truth. A half-truth is a whole lie, and yet we find people trying to develop truth from a half-truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement: "What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe is about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real." Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in some of our Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says this, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, you won't find truth on the Communist Network News. You won't find truth in anything that you try to roll the dial. Listen, I turn on television of the evening as I have time and roll the dial. I'm just simply looking for news. I do the same of a morning. And it amazes me the dribble that you get that's supposed to be news. And then the anchor will tell you, this is what happened, but let me break it down for you. And I scream at the television, don't break it down for me. Just tell me what's happened. Let me break it down. Let me understand. Let me dissect it and analyze it. That's what we're finding today. It is dissecting truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has the Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for a Time can answer your questions, ladies and gentlemen, about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Good question. On the campus of Tools for a Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. On top of that flagpole floats the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We'll open our telephone lines in just one moment. We'll introduce our special guest that is with us. But I want us, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, to think about the what we're finding today that is taking place. It's tragic, I believe, to witness America and what we're doing to our children. It's bad enough when we see millions of babies being murdered in the womb. It's bad enough when we see the horrific thing that is taking place and realize that under the Biden administration with the open borders, we were told that approximately 350,000 children came in that got lost in the system. Fortunately, now with Homeland Security and ICE, and DOJ, they're discovering multitudes of these children, but the majority of them had been brought in under the guise of a relative bringing them in, and they'd been sold into slavery, sex slavery, in America. And I'm thankful that that's to a degree being modified and corrected. But we have, ladies and gentlemen, we've tried to modify the hearts and the minds and the morals of our children in our school system. Our kids in school have been taught to hate America. Our kids in school have been taught to reject anything that's spiritual things. Our kids in the school system today have been taught to refuse to pledge their allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, evidently, our civil government, the officers, the officials in our civil government, have forgotten what the Bible says in relationship to that. In fact, let me just give you a little tidbit. In Proverbs 22:6, a Hebrew transliteration of what we find in the English Bible. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way, the bent, the leaning, the direction that he should go, and when he shall have become old, he will not have departed from it. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're sowing today in the hearts and the minds and the lives of our kids will be the hearts and the minds and the lives of the generations to come. If Jesus tarries, if the rapture tarries, if we find ourselves a few years down the road, we're going to witness the result. We're sowing to the wind. We're reaped to the whirlwind based on what we're training our kids in the public school system. A good example, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline, school wants students to know all 19 of the pride flags and what each flag means. The University of Colorado in Boulder, one of the nation's best known party schools, there are some reality and real important facts for students to learn. Out of all that they want to teach, they say all 19 pride flags are the things that the children in the educational system must know. Then they go into the original flag, then they go into the recognized process of the transition flag, et cetera, et cetera. Now you say, my child's not taught that. Ladies and gentlemen, may I suggest, when that little yellow school bus picks up your son and daughter, you're not really aware of what they're being taught in the public school. You're not really aware of what they've been warned and admonished not to tell parents. You're not really aware the mindset and the modus operandi that's in force in our public school system to garner the hearts and the lives and the minds of our kids. I believe it was John Dewey many years ago bragged about the fact that they would make America a humanistic nation, and they would do so through the educational system. I believe we're witnessing the coming to fruition of that. Listen, our U.S. Department of Education must be dismantled. I'll say that to begin with. I believe President Trump has given an instruction to dismantle the U.S. Department of Education. It's under a hold status based on a little judge and a little district and a little court and a little room with a black robe on that decides he's going to run the Oval Office. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to recognize that and say something, do something about it. Ladies and gentlemen, across America, we've had citizens that are concerned about the content of textbooks that our children are being exposed to. Our children are taught the LGBTQ agenda. Our children are taught the DEI. Our children are taught the anti-God philosophy. And may I say to you today, we're delighted to have a gentleman in our studio that will talk about that. What do we do? How do we respond? Should we sit back in silence? Should we just say, Lord, remove the problem? Or should we be informed as citizens, as moms, as dads, as grandparents, and do something about it? Have with me today, ladies and gentlemen, Blake Harper. Brother Blake has been involved in this process of removing textbooks that are offensive, that are ones that should not be in the classroom. That's what's called inappropriate material. We're going to talk with Blake about that. We're going to ask some questions. And ladies and gentlemen, I pray that as a parent, a grandparent, a relative, a citizen that's concerned, that you call in and ask questions. And the bottom line is, with this discussion today, we're going to invite you as our listeners, as the public arena, to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, become involved, and help go through the process of eliminating this garbage from our classrooms that our kids are being taught. Blake, brother, thank you so much for joining us today. First of all, will you take a few moments, just give our listeners a little tidbit of your bio and your interest and your involvement and what you're concerned about today?
First of all, thank you for the invitation, Dr. Youngblood. I am just so blessed to be able to spend time with you here and just to listen to your comments and your thought process. It's so detailed and so accurate. It's just, and there's bits of humor in there that just make me want to chuckle. It's a blessing to be here. Since 2010, I've been engaged in the public square. I call it the public square. Defending the Constitution and Judeo-Christian principles, the founding principles of this nation. And the most recent project, which we're working on right now, we call it the Library Restoration Project. And you can go to you can send me an email at libraryrestorationproject@gmail.com. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to restore the libraries. We're trying to take the libraries back to what they were intended to be all along. And it's really been a very eye-opening process. We get support from places, but there's also support that we need to be getting that we're not. We're also uncovering a lot of things that, you know, you hear about things in Washington and about the swamp and whatnot. We see a lot of that in the work we're doing. So it's really we're just very thankful for this opportunity, and we need people to come join the battle force, the task force, to restore our libraries. We need to get the inappropriate books out of those libraries, because once a child reads or sees these things, it never leaves their mind, never. And that's an established medical fact.
That's right, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I'm prayerful that as a parent, a grandparent, a concerned citizen, that you will call in and ask questions in relationship to these inappropriate materials that's found. Blake, let me ask you a question. Do you find, in your discovery at this juncture, do we have inappropriate material in the textbooks in Duval County schools?
Yes, we do. There was a thought I wanted to share with you that I think everybody needs to understand. It goes back to when Charlotte Joyce was running for her slot on the school board, and people would say, "I don't have a child in the library in school."
Good thought.
And the reality is that every child in that school is a child of as our child, because they are going to be the ones that take over when they turn 18. They're the ones who are going to replace us. So we have a vested interest to make sure they get the proper education. They have the best collection of chances and opportunities that they can take advantage of. Now, the only way I can explain to you what's happened in Duval County is to talk about what's happened over in Clay County. And I'm working with a gentleman over there who is basically the model for the work we're doing. And over in Clay County, he's done over 2,000 book challenges. And he has been a driving force in dealing with Clay County. So why do we talk about Clay County? Well, Clay County has 65% of the students and 65% of the schools of Duval County, and I contend that Duval County has been downrange of all these woke organizations.
Absolutely,
we know about Jasmine, and we know about Jacksonville Public Education Fund. We know the Jaguars help put money into all this stuff. It's not here. It's kind of like what happened with COVID, is that nobody understood what was going on in the schools until people started looking. And then when they started looking, they found out just how horrific it is. I can tell you that Bruce over in Clay County has gotten 1,300 books taken out that are inappropriate, that violate Florida statute, that are destructive to our children's minds. So, and in the time he's done that, they only had one book taken out of Duval County. That's not to say the things aren't there. It's they've been hiding. And our goal is to uncover those books. And they clearly are there. We just don't have enough people to go after everything all at once.
A question, and you touched on it, and I'm familiar with the answer, but I want our listeners, when you say they're hiding, how does the school board hide these inappropriate content books from the peering eye?
What I want to say is I don't want to use the word hiding. Nobody's paid attention to it. Reality is that when COVID came along...
But did they reclassify them?
No.
Did they renumber them?
Well, we've challenged 24 books. And of those 24 books, 6 books have just disappeared into thin air. So there are 18 other books that are there. So the bottom line is you never know until you start looking. And we've just started that looking process. And just to share with people, if you think about doing one book challenge, it takes about 3 hours to prepare it, to get it to submit to the school board. So it's a very time-consuming process, and we need more hands on the equipment. We need more people in the battle force.
Well, let's pause at this point, because during the course of the interview, we're going to talk about what can the public do. Let's talk about it a little now. Those that are listening, this, I'm interested, I'm concerned, I'd like to be a part of it. What can they do? How should they respond? Should they just call you now on the air? Should they reach you by email? Should they volunteer with the name, address, and phone number? Give our listeners instructions on how they can be a part of resolving this issue.
Okay, that's why I provided an email. We just got a Gmail account. This is all self-funded. We don't have thousands of dollars to do websites and things like that. That's just basically the way it works. So the email is librarystorationproject@gmail.com, and they can pop me an email. Many of your listeners know me personally, and so they can call me or they can send me a text or they send me personal email. But all they have to do is say, "Blake, I want to get involved. How can I get involved?" And so what we do is it's very simple, very easy to do, is we have a training program, and we're having one tonight. Okay.
Talk about that.
And then once you've had the training program, the training session, I call them submittal gatherings. We get together one night a month, and it's typically the last week of the month. And what happens is that I go through, I search the library records for books that are there that have been taken out elsewhere that are established by Florida statute, by the action of other school boards, that they are inappropriate and they violate Florida statute. Then I go through and I prepare a book challenge packet for that book, and whoever attends the gathering, they convert everything over to Duval County forms, and we submit it at the first school board. So the training we're having tonight, and I'll just mention where it is, but you have to contact me, because we do a 40, you got a copy of it, a 40-page resource, mm-hmm. training manual.
Very good.
So this is serious work that we're doing. People need to have comfort and understanding of what they're doing. I'm not asking people to do anything without knowing what they're doing and having a way to understand what
yes.
they're doing. And so that's what that does. And we go through that whole process once a month, and that we're going to be doing it at Grace Life Church over on San Jose Boulevard across from Walmart. So contact me at Library Restoration Project, the word spelled out, no spaces, at gmail.com, or you can send me a text at 904-240-9855 and let me know you're interested.
Give them that number again.
904-240-9855. And so basically all you have to do is bring a pen to any one of these meetings, because all the materials will be provided for you. As I said, tonight the people will be getting a 40-page training manual, and when we get together for book challenges, they get the book challenge packet to do, and once we've got everything in and to the school board, they'll get a copy of what they did as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're going about this in much the way you prosecute a crime, and that is you provide the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You do it through a very clear-cut, objective process. We submit everything on the basis of we want our challenges to be unquestioned. We want the quality of them, the quantity of them, the veracity of them to be beyond any question, beyond any standard, such that we create a track record. We create a clarity. Scripture tells us we have to clean our house first before we mm-hmm. go clean something else. Well, we've cleaned our house. We've got the process in place. I have been involved in the making of the policy and participating in it and watching over it, and so we're in a position of knowledge and strength. And it intimidates our adversaries. It truly intimidates our adversaries.
Let me ask a question that our listeners could very well be asking at this moment. We've talked about it and touched on the word three or four times. Exactly what do we mean by inappropriate material? I've got in some of the material that you've written, you outlined that. Talk with our listeners. What's inappropriate?
So, first of all, the default is pornography and obscenity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we have to be careful about that, and we'll talk about that if we get a chance to with regards to some Supreme Court justices.
Yes.
So, obviously, pornography and obscenity are the defaults. But the reality is there is a Supreme Court case, PICO, which established that if something was pervasively vulgar or inappropriate for the age of the student.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about inappropriate for the age
All
of the
right.
student. Suicide ideation, bullying, promoting teenage sex, drugs, alcohol. I'll give you an example. I read a passage from a book that I challenged or talked about it at the last school board meeting, 19 Minutes by Jodi Picoult. And in that book, the subject of the title is mass shooting at a school.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's one issue.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes into the pornographic and detailed graphic sex scenes and things like that. But this is a thing that to me was set it apart in a most incredible way. There's about a page and a half about where a young girl who's in high school finds out that she's pregnant. And her boyfriend, whoever got her pregnant, wants her to get an abortion. So she's trying to figure out what to do. And in this short page and a half, the author tells the reader how a young girl can commit a chemical abortion on herself by drinking a certain type of a tea. Mm-hmm. And it goes so far as to talk about, as to describe the process where the placenta, whatever was in there, it comes out in the toilet. Mm-hmm. Now, that is the most obscene, most hideous, disgusting thing I could ever think of. Mm-hmm. So it goes from sex, drugs, and alcohol to gang fights to the first book I challenged, which was written by Stephen King, and Stephen King is truly demented. To be able to write about that, about the graphic violence the way he does, but his books also involve a tremendous amount of pornography, and in this particular case, in two sentences, I wrote about detailing an older man engaged in pedophilia acts with a young girl in the morning and a young boy in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So these are the kinds of things. But the point is. The pornography obscenity is one thing, but these other things that destroy people's value systems,
yes,
that destroys people's children's view of the future, mm-hmm. view of their people. One of the things that we hope to be moving on to, what we're trying to do is we're trying to establish a track record of calling things out and being successful in doing that.
Yes,
it's very easy. It's easier to do this. In terms of identifying the material and getting rid of the material, then dealing with things like critical race theory and all that and DEI.
Yes.
And ultimately the greatest issue is the fact that these children are growing up in a world where they're putting people in boxes. They aren't following Dr. Martin Luther King's call to judge people by the content of the character. They're teaching children to judge people by their demographic characteristics, by the color of their skin, whatever the case may be. And that is probably the single greatest problem that we have to deal with, because it's destroying our cultures, destroying the cohesiveness of our nation.
Absolutely. Well, Blake, let me take a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing Blake Harper. We're talking about the content of the books in our school system here in Duval County and surrounding counties, but primarily in Duval County. Blake, you've written in an article, and I'm reading that, when we talk about inappropriate materials, you say sexual activity, promiscuity, drug and alcohol use, violence, self-harm, profanity, disrespect of authority and parents, cultural and social narratives like critical race theory, DEI, alternative sexualities, comprehensive sex education. The problem with that is, as you touched on just a moment ago, it destroys the mindset, it destroys morals, ethics, and values for the child for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, I'm highly incensed by the fact that this is taking place in Duval County. And listen, Blake, I don't know how you've come down on this. I'm adamantly opposed to the renewing of the 1 cent sales tax in November for the school board when the school board's misusing the funds that they're now receiving. And in 2022, when the 1 cent sales tax was added for the school board for paying teachers, it was supposed to be for 4 years. Well, the 4 years are out.
Right.
They've simply overspent the budget. They're not tightening their restraints on what's spent. We're spending about $14,000 to $15,000 a year per student from kindergarten through high school. I think it's time that the school board sit back, relax, and start doing what is morally, ethically, biblically right, and then we'll focus on dollars if necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at what's taking place in our public school system right here in Duval County. We're talking with Blake Harper, and in just a moment, right after the news, we're going to ask the question, how does Dr. Bernier, the new school board superintendent, how does he come down on these issues? Does he stand against us or for us? Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ-FM, Orange Park, WAYL-FM, St. Augustine, WATY-FM, Folkston, WMUV-HD4, Brunswick, and W2